and Sister Green come to sing. I want to introduce our guest speaker. That way, after the special, he can step right up and get right into his message that God's laid on his heart for us. You know, I've known Dr. Taylor for a great number of years. One of the things I always appreciated about working for a man like Dr. Smith was he always put you around great men. And he always had you to help and whether it was picking them up from the airport or taking them and taking care of them. And it just was a wonderful, wonderful experience being around so many great men of God. And Dr. Taylor is one of those men, and I've got to host him several times as a staff member. What God is doing through this man in the ministry of the God Save America revivals around the country and then through the Mount Salem Revival Grounds is just an incredible thing. And God has entrusted to him a great, great ministry. I love him, respect him, appreciate his wife spending the day with us. She hasn't been able to come as much as Dr. Taylor has been here to our church a great number of years. And he always has a standing invitation during this time of year to come and preach to us. Preacher, we love you. And right after the special, we want you to come and bring the message that God's laid on your heart.
Alone in the darkness, you're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he true? Is this the way it always will be?
My friend, I know the answer to your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers, and their stories live on.
Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all. Ask the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer, just ask.
I too have stood in the darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile. Questions, hiding tears behind every smile.
But then I drew strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were the first to believe. When their faith reached out to touch them, his arms reach back to help them, and he's able to do the same for you and me.
Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all. Ask the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer, just ask. Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb tell it all. Touched by his hand, can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. They'll
they'll know the answer just ask.
Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that good? My, I wish all this old wicked world could hear the music program of your church. What a great, great church that you have. I've enjoyed it so very, very much. Thank you for allowing me to come, Pastor. I sure do appreciate it so very much. And you have the right pastor here. You really do. Someone who got saved here. Think about that. Isn't that wonderful? Got saved here, then was handpicked by Dr. Smith to be his assistant pastor, and then you folks voted him in. And I tell you, this is tremendous to have somebody that served you and still loves you and wants to serve you more. That's a blessing. Amen. You can't get any richer than that. That's the ultimate. And I appreciate the pastor and his wife so much. Dr. Lassiter, thank you for letting me come. I sure appreciate it. My wife and I thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship today. Got to get some more fried chicken. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. They're going to have that just inside the Eastern Gate. Amen, that's right. And banana pudding, that's right. I'm going to be serving the banana pudding for sure. Amen. And it's good to have my wife with me. Bless her heart, it's been so wonderful. I just wish she would have some better influence over there tonight. Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. Brother Ogden, good to see you. Bittersweet day for you and the wife. But I tell you, stalwart leader, and thank God for him. And be praying for him. He wants to be a gypsy. He wants to be an evangelist. Amen. Dive in, the water's fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. I 2 years ago, January, I just flew my millionth mile in the air. 99% of that was without my wife. So I'm glad that she gets to travel with me. I've driven a million miles. And this is my 37th year as a gypsy. I mean, as an evangelist, amen. And so God's been mighty good. And I have enjoyed being around these great preachers, Dr. Smith and Brother Jackson. God bless you, men. Appreciate y'all so very much, what you've meant to me in my life. And seeing Brother Reed lead the songs brought back a lot of memories about the big God Save America we had. And I appreciate you not changing. It's wonderful. So good. Enjoyed that. Just so good. It thrills my soul to be in a rock-solid Baptist church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many of them are changing today. So many of them are changing today. They're dropping off services like Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Well, what do you do during the week if you don't go to church? I'll tell you, about 7 o'clock every night, I'm looking for a pulpit somewhere. Amen. You folks know how to have church around here. That's what I appreciate about it. You just know how to have church. And so, God bless you. I have a few things on the back table. If you'd go back there, if you're a soul winner, and you ought to be, amen, there's some things that would help you back there. This is the Dr. Joe Boyd's soul winning New Testament plan. In the front is the plan of salvation, one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known, and maybe the world has ever known. What a great soul winner. His verses are pasted. Our secretaries painstakingly paste the plan inside, then they put the verse at the bottom of the page, takes you to the next, to the next, to the next. And in the back, there are 3 lectures that can help you, how to help your pastor win souls, popular excuses refuted, and after having now accepted Christ. Tremendous little tool. I call it the Baptist Derringer. You stick that in your pocket and pop it out on them in the doorstep. Amen. And catch them off guard. And what a wonderful tool. My soul winning track is back there. Be saved without delay. And then maybe you get in a situation with family or at a hospital bed and you just don't know what to do, what to say. You're at a loss of words because of close family ties or whatever. This has been used for many, many, many years. It's called the Bible Promise Book, and we can't keep them on the tables. They're a real blessing to folks who are wanting to meet needs of people. Then this has been used for years and years and years, the Soul Winner's Guide. And it's a little tool you can stick in your pocket if you get in a spot that maybe it's hard to get out of, have questions about. You can flip to those different dividers in there, and it'll get you to different questions that'll be a blessing to you. Dr. Board wrote this very popular soul winner's manual. It'll teach you all types of scenarios, how to lead someone to Christ from atheist to Muslim. I mean, just different kinds of soul winning experiences. I have 3 CD sermons in a series back there that'll be a blessing to you, all about soul winning. Then I have 27 different series back there. three in each one. This is dramatized Bible stories for children. I have on topics from teenagers to ladies to adults and men and then families and all kinds of different topics back there. And then for years I've been tabulating, put together the voices of great men and preaching sermons of great men. We call it Preserving Preachers from the Past. This is one I did years ago. It has, it'll take you an hour and a half to listen to this. It has segments of sermons by great preachers, including Billy Sunday's actual voice and D.L. Moody's actual voice and William Booth's actual voice. One of the oldest recordings of man's voice was William Booth. It was a wire recording, real scratchy type sound. When you listen to it, you got to listen very careful. He's the one that started the Salvation Army. And my wife and I named our first daughter after his. Evangeline was his. Ours is Evangeline, our daughter was. Anyway, tremendous. Paul Harvey, the guy said, now the rest of the story, he narrates about, maybe a 30-second tag to all of their testimonies. And just a great job, tremendous. And we put those together. Those are about, they're short sermons. That's $5. These are full-length sermons. I put together Volume 2 and Volume 3. And great preachers from the past. Here's one from Bill Rice and Bob Jones Sr. and Charles Weigel's testimony. The actual first time mention of his testimony, this is the voice of 10,000 people, amen in him. And when he would say, when he would preach and they'd say amen, they'd drown his voice out. So many people in the audience. It's the first time he ever gave his testimony after his wife left him. They put the testimony in a song he had written. In a poem, and so it's called No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Dr. B.R. Lakin, Dr. George W. Truett, Dr. Frank Norris, J. Frank Norris, right here in Fort Worth, he pastored many years, Dr. John R. Rice, Lester Roloff. How many of you remember the famous sermon that he preached, The Mule Walked On? You remember that sermon? Well, if you've never heard it, this is the actual sermon. It's known as the Storm Sermon because a tent blew down the night that he preached it. I was under that tent as a little boy, years ago, right over here at the edge of Dallas. And that's the actual sermon that night. And Oliver B. Green, R.A. Torrey, R.G. Lee, and Vance Havner. Then there's Ford Porter, Beecham Vic, Harry Ironside, Mordecai Ham, Harold Seitler, Hugh Pyle, Hyman Appleman, J. Harold Smith, Joe Henry Hankins, John, Oswald J. Smith, Monroe Parker, Percy Ray. The one on R.A. Torrey was the only audio we have of him anywhere in the world, and we got our hands on it, and he gives credence. It's entitled, Is the Bible the Word of God? And he gives credence to the King James Bible, and it's still the King James Bible that's the Word of God. And so, tremendous, great things. A man heard about that I collect these things, and a man called me from Kansas City, Missouri. He said, I'm a distant relative to Gypsy Simon Smith. He said, I understand you put a foreword or a preface in a book about him. I said, I did. And he said, would you like to have him singing to a crowd of 5,000 people? I said, I'd love to have it. He sent me a full-length sermon and two songs that he sang to 5,000 people. And so I just love putting these things together. Look, if we forget where we came from, are you listening to me, Baptist? If we forget where we came from, we'll never have a future. Never, never. Tell your boys and girls, tell your children, tell your family, tell everybody where we came from. Let's don't forget what God has done down through the years. And let's keep this thing alive. And with your church, I know that you will. God bless you so much. Again, Brother Lasseter, thank you so much for letting me come. Get your Bibles. Turn to Isaiah 35. While you're turning there, maybe you give me a courtesy laugh on some of these cornball jokes that I get in the mail all the time. I have a deacon that sends me hundreds and hundreds of jokes. I send him back through my secretary's email, get a life. Amen. This one's entitled The Blonde Pilot. A little blonde lady got on the radio and said, Mayday, 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 my plane is going down. The pilot just died and I don't know how to fly this plane. I'm sitting in the co-pilot's chair. Help me, somebody help me. Mayday, mayday. The radio tower came back and said, we'll help you, just do what we say. Now tell us, your height and your position. You got it. I'm 5'4" and I voted for Obama, she said. He said, repeat these words after me, our Father which art in heaven. I didn't vote for change. I didn't vote for change. Let's see here. a husband got mad at his wife, and when they got through fighting, he said, "Sweetheart, I'm so sorry I got mad at you, but you held your anger back. You didn't fight back. How did you do that?" She said, "Well, I cleaned the toilet." He said, "What on earth does that have to do with anything we've been talking about?" She said, "Well, I used your toothbrush." That's bad right there. That's bad. Don't try that one at home. Wife looked in the mirror and says to her husband, "Oh," she said, "I'm so overweight, I'm so ugly, I'm so wrinkled." She said, "Please give me a compliment. I need to be feeling better right now about myself. Tell me something nice. Tell me something sweet." He said, "Well, your eyesight is perfect." Man said, "My wife and I were sitting at a table at a high school reunion, and she kept staring. A man kept staring at my wife, just swaggering around and finally sitting down and just staring and drunk and stinky and what in the world he was doing, stared at my wife. I was getting very upset, and finally he left, and I asked my wife, he said, "Sweetheart, why is that man staring at you? Do you know him?" And she said, "Well, yeah, we were high school sweethearts." She said, "But I broke up with him, and they said he became a drunk ever since." After about 5 minutes, he scratched his head and he looked at his wife. He said, "Hey, sweetheart, how could a man celebrate that long?" You get that by airmail after a while. And this is for all you students in school here. Little golden books that never made it. You folks remember that? You're dating your age. You're telling your age now. Little golden books that never made it. Curious George and the High Voltage Fence. That one never made it. Little golden books that never made it. Why can't Mr. Fork and Mrs. Electrical Outlet be friends? That one didn't make it. Little golden books that never made it. Pop Goes the Hamster and Other Exciting Microwavable Games. That one didn't make it either. And I'm from West Virginia, and I get all these, you know, saddest jokes all the time about where I'm from. But I did wear my shoes. Amen. I'm hillbilly, but I'm sophisticated hillbilly. This is entitled, "Who Says Rednecks Aren't Real Bright?" "Hello, is this the FBI? Yes, it is. What do you want?" Said, "Well, I'm calling to report my neighbor, Billy Bob Smith. He's hiding marijuana in his firewood." "Thank you very much for the call, sir." The next day, the FBI descends on Billy Bob's house, and they search every piece of firewood. They bust open every piece of firewood, found no marijuana. They had a few choice swear words to Billy Bob and left. The phone rings at Billy Bob's house and says, "Hey, Billy Bob, did the FBI come over?" "Yep." "Did they chop up all your firewood?" "Yep." "Merry Christmas, buddy." Yeah, we hillbillies, we get that job done one way or another. Amen. All right, stand with me, please. Thanks for laughing. I like to laugh, and I like for you to laugh. Because I'm nervous and I have to get unnervous, so I tell a few jokes. And then you might need that smile in about 5 minutes after I get to preaching here. Isaiah 35, please. Isaiah 35. And I want to read the full chapter of 10 verses. If you'll read silently as I read aloud, what a great chapter in the middle of Isaiah. Look what it says. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. And blossom as the rose, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. In the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Notice our text verse. "And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called," what's the next phrase? Read it with me. "The way of holiness." Say it again. "The way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Notice the phrase in verse number 8. Notice and underscore it, the way of holiness. The way of holiness. I want to preach tonight, if you'll listen carefully, on the highway of holiness. Did you notice the Bible said it's a highway? I'm an evangelist. I've driven many, many miles on highways. I know a little bit about what highways are like. And I want to preach on that tonight, if you'll let me paint a picture of what the Bible talks about here. The highway of holiness. Let's bow our heads, please. Now, Father, our culture has changed. Our society has changed. Everything around us has changed. Since my boyhood, Lord, there's been so much electronic technology and so many things to lure people away from the audience of a church and the sound of a pastor. I pray, dear God, you'd help me to be a blessing during these days where there's so much dramatic change, when everybody has an ear and an eye watching the world, and not too many people are looking at the altar or the pulpit much more. I pray, Lord, you'd bless, use the message. Help us, Lord, to separate ourselves from that old evil world and the influence of it. Use now the message, Lord, during this time. And, Lord, speak to hearts and help us, Lord, to be more like Thee and serve You better. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We have complicated holiness. I'm talking about we Christians. We have complicated holiness. I'm talking about when it comes to everyday practical living. Holiness has been not discerned biblically. Godliness we know as godlikeness. Holiness is truly conforming our nature to His holy nature. Really separating ourselves from the world. Our will to His will. After the prediction of some chapters in the previous chapters of Isaiah, in chapter 24, God predicts an entire worldwide judgment. In the next chapter, He says that He'll give mercy. He promises mercy. And that's what every man needs. Every man needs mercy. Everybody in the world needs mercy. Only God can give the mercy that we need. So the picture is, after all of the darkness and all of the confusion and all the wickedness and destruction, then God gives this wonderful promise of chapter 35. What a beautiful, beautiful chapter in the Bible. Sorrow and sighing will be done away with. That's going to be a great day. One of these days where there'll be no more tears, amen. And no more sighing. What a great time the Bible talks about, and that for us would be heaven, amen. But I believe that He's talking about here, even including those that were even called the Gentiles. One day, from this Old Testament, God gave us the New Testament, that gospel church, and we're a part of it, amen? I mean, where God included us, we're just Gentile dogs according to the Bible, but God included us according to the book of Romans. He grafted us in, amen? And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, now there is no Jew and Gentile when it comes to salvation, because we have Jesus as our all-sufficient sacrifice. Thank God, my friend, for our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he gets to this chapter and he talks about holiness as being an highway. Did you read that? Look at verse 8 again. The Bible said, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." Who's on this highway? I believe you can find in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse number 7, the Gentiles mentioned. In verse 1, he said, "The wilderness of the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing." Lord, notice now, "The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it." Notice these Gentile names, and Sharon and Carmel, he said there, "The glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God shall be theirs." God's going to give these people that's not even a part of this salvation plan to be a part of the gospel. Amen. The only religion God ever made and gave was to the nation of Israel. God never gave religion to America. God never gave religion to the Chinese or the African or to the Russian or to anybody. He only gave one religion, that was to the nation of Israel. But He included us because of Calvary. Amen. And he had a plan. Notice who's on this highway in verse 3 and 4. The weak hands and the fearful hearts. Do you see those words? Verse 5 and 6, these people on the highway are those who needed miracles. Notice the words, the blind, the deaf, the lame, the dumb. But I want you to notice in verse 9 and 10, the redeemed. Amen. The ransomed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God saved you? Amen. Aren't you glad you're redeemed tonight? Aren't you glad you've been ransomed, bought back, and the price was paid but Calvary and the Lord Jesus? He said they'll experience an everlasting joy. Verse number 10, he said, sorrow and sighing will flee away. Verse 1, you read it with me, the desert land will blossom like a fruitful country. And then verse number 1 again, the wilderness will be turned into a good land like those Gentile nations that were included in the New Testament. Thank God he kept his promise. The gospel will be that great joy. And it has been. In verse number 2, my friend, God's glory and grace will shine. What's the Lord trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us, my friend, that God can change a bad way into a good way. God can change sad days into happy days, a desert land into a blossoming rose, a parched ground to a pool, a thirsty land to springs of water, sadness to rejoicing, singing to sighing. Sighing to singing, but listen to me. You have to get on that road. You have to get on that highway. Now, we all know that other road is a Broadway. But he's talking about a highway, and he called it the highway of holiness. I'm convinced that most people don't believe in holiness. Pastor, they just think it's a theory. The reason I say that is because you can't find anybody who has a real definition of what the Bible talks about holiness is. You've tried to look on television, and these TV preachers will give you everything under the sun about what holiness is. Nobody understands it, but God called it a highway. Let me, if I can, paint this picture. Number one, are you still with me? Say amen. First of all, on this highway, I can promise you one thing. This highway is a life of victory. This highway is a life of victory. Thank God, my friend, for this highway of holiness. Did you notice, my friend, it's built up in our same surroundings. Many up hills and valleys and curves. And it's dangerous if you get off of it. And it's narrow with many dangers. But the Bible said then, verse number 9, it's safe for us. Those that are on that highway, the Bible said it's safe. Well, look at it in verse number 9. No lion shall be there. No any ravenous beast shall go thereon. And notice, my friend, in verse number 8, the only person that's barred from walking on this highway. Did you notice the word unclean? Notice what the Bible said in verse number 8. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. I looked up the word unclean, and I found it to be two definitions in the Bible. One is the unsaved. The unclean is the unsaved. Second of all, the unclean, according to the Bible, is the unclean Christian. Someone who is saved, but he's gotten off this highway. The Bible said if you're unclean, you can't be on this highway. It doesn't mean you can be lost because you can only be saved once. That's what Brother Lassiter said. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Find me anybody that got saved twice in the Bible, I'll eat that page out of your Bible. Nobody ever got second salvation in the Bible. Give me the name. Give me the scripture and verse. It's not there. Find me second salvation anywhere in your Bible. Come on, theologian. Where is the verse? And yet they built all kinds of religions on second and third and fourth salvation. Find me the sin that can send you to hell. Find me the sin that can make you lost once you've been saved. You listening to me? It's not there. But the Lord said the unclean is barred. That would be the unsaved or the unclean Christian. Barred from being off on this highway. The only way that this highway is you can get on this highway is through a long forbidding hill called Calvary. Golgotha, Mount Calvary. That's how you get to this place, and you climb to that hill on your hands and knees, mostly your knees. When you get to this hill, you'll meet Jesus at the cross. It doesn't mean you have to get saved twice. It just means you have to go back to the blood in order to get your sins clean. Amen. And forgiven. Every one of us ought to keep a good account with the Lord God. Amen. Every one of us ought to keep a clean slate and our sins forgiven. And you do that by getting back to Calvary. Not to be saved again, but to get back to the blood. That's what you do with your sin. You'll meet Jesus there. The only way you'll get there to that Calvary is on your hands and knees. You know, the whole world thinks they can do things without Jesus. It's impossible. Impossible. If you're saved, you still have to come back to Calvary on your hands and knees. Yes, you do. Let me see if I can get some help. Would you do me a... Just stand where you are. Do me a favor. And most of the time at the altar, most people just stand in their pew and just wait till the invitation is over. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God where you are, but God would rather you abase yourself. Amen. And bow and bend and be broken. You see, my friend, when you get to Calvary, you'll look at Jesus. You'll see His hands. You'll see His feet that was nail-riven. Are you listening to me? You'll see that cross, I mean that crown that He wore for us. And you'll see, my friend, that it was Jesus that bore our sins. It was our sins that placed Jesus on Calvary. And then your heart will break. And you'll be bent and you'll be broken. And I put it like this into the alphabet. If all you want to do is stand there in the invitation, you're in the I position. I. And you live in the strength of the arm of the flesh. But if you want to be like Jesus, you'll come and kneel. That's right. Consecrate. Come on down here and kneel. Consecration doesn't come off the pew. Consecration comes off the altar. That's the C position. Christ-likeness. To be like Christ. And if all you want to do is stand in the pew, you're in the I position. But when you want to get right with God, you're bent and you're broken. Amen. And you get back to the Lord God. And you do that on your hands and knees. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. And when you get to Calvary, Jesus will hold His hand out. And He'll want something from you. Listen to this. Don't you forget it. He'll ask for your heart. He'll look inside and see it blackened by sin. He'll look inside and see it empty because of no fellowship. Amen. Jesus said, I want your empty heart. And your empty heart becomes His empty cup. What happened at Calvary? He said, let this cup pass from me. What was in that cup? Calvary was in that cup. Jesus went to Calvary for one reason. That's for you. Amen. Now that you've been saved, He gives you a highway. And He asks you to walk this highway. And He calls it the highway of holiness. And you get there on your hands and knees. When you get there, He'll hold His hand out. You'll give Him your heart. He'll fill it up. That old empty heart is filled. Filled with His joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll fill it with His Spirit. An overabundance of the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And hey, then He'll ask you, once He fills that heart, He'll ask you to get up off your hands and knees. And you can walk with Him. Amen. You can walk with Him. And hey, listen to me. I kind of believe what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31 when he said, I die daily. I die daily. I promise you this. If you want a life of victory, you'll get back to Calvary every time sin comes in your way. Amen. Every time you find yourself adrift by sin, you'll get back to Calvary. Hands and knees. Second of all, you're still with me? Say amen. First of all, I promise you this life, this highway of holiness is a life of victory. Second of all, I can promise you this, on this highway of holiness, you'll have constant choices. Constant choices. The Bible puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. All filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting, listen to this, holiness in the fear of God. So then again, what is holiness? Holiness is conforming our nature to His holy nature. Our will to His will. Titus 2:11-14, the Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, listen, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us, listen, from all iniquity. And purifying unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, thank God. He saved us and now He wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to be on that highway. He brings pressure to bear on us, but it's our choice. You see, he's not going to cram salvation down your throat, and he's not going to cram this life of holiness down your throat. You'll want to bear his testimony. You can resist, be stiff-necked, and not humble yourself. And the real test usually comes with somebody else, because there are others on that highway, just like you. Most of our problems come from other people. Someone hurts us, maybe slights us. God nearly always tests us through other people, and people place many demands on us, and sometimes we just don't know what to do with some people, but back to the road of Calvary. Now, the truth is, you won't get off that road by having people trouble. Sometimes there are bumps in the road. Sometimes there are pitfalls in that road. But on this highway, my friend, it stretches upward and narrow, and you see this light. It's the Lord Jesus. And you follow him, hand in hand with him in his steps. And he tells you to follow him no longer in darkness, but bright and glowing. No longer seeing Jesus at dark Calvary, but he comes right to you. And again, my friend, he wants you to be filled. He wants you to be full of his happiness, our empty hearts, following him. You say, what is that? That's holiness. What is that? It's revival. You and I being filled with His Holy Spirit all of the time. It makes us concerned about the lost souls of mankind. It puts us with free hearts and full of His holiness. It allows us to work with Him and Him work through us. We walk along with Him always with our hearts filled, our cups filled with His fullness, continually overflowing. The rest of Christianity is life that consists walking with Him on this highway. Listen. Hearts full, bowing to His will, constantly being cleansed by His blood, walking with Jesus. This is nothing new and spectacular. It's just an everyday walking with the Lord experience. Not a life of new emotional experiences, just waiting for Him. Just a happy day, living a life for the Lord, believing what He wants for you, intending for you to serve Him. That's real holiness. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Third and last, are you still with me? Say amen. First of all, I promise you on this road, of this highway of holiness, it's a life of victory. I wouldn't trade for what God's done in my life. Being on this highway. Hey, you get on this other highway and you'll find, my friend, it's a terrible way. Look where it's led us. Look where that Broadway has led America. I don't want to be crude and rude tonight, but for the last 20 years, the average age of abortion has been 14 in America. Now, according to the statistics of our own Congress, the new age of fornication is 10. 10. That's the new America we live in. This is the new culture we live in. We have a president now that's all for same-sex marriage. Are you listening to me? This is the new normal in America. I mean, this is what we're supposed to accept. May I say, my friend, on third thing, that it's possible you can slip off this road. There are no sightseers on the road that he's talking about. But there is on that other road. I mean, everybody looks, and boy, I tell you, the new normal is to curse Jesus' name. Have you noticed Jesus' name is hated in our country? A Christian nation hates Jesus' name. I mean, you can say any name you want to, but not Jesus' name. And it's okay to profane his name, but you can't mention his name in public places. You'll be put in jail, fined. Are you listening to me? Incarcerated. Just to mention his name. They hate his name. My wife and I had the privilege of being in the hospital where our seventh grandchild was born, and we now have eight grandchildren, but on that seventh birth of a grandchild, it was our granddaughter that was to be born, little Anna Marie, and it was to be born to my son, Randy Jr., and his wife, Joy. And what a happy day it was. And while my wife was up, you know, that's no place for granddaddies. That's a grandmama thing, amen. I mean, it's no place for granddaddies. So I just looked for an excuse to get ice cream. So I said, okay, grandkids, come on, let's go. And I had one grandbaby on this finger walking in this one, and I was walking along, and all of a sudden, We go down to this brand new, in a brand new hospital, a brand new admittance area, and there was people in there about half the size of this crowd, and all the chairs, and I mean it was a busy place. And all of a sudden I heard this cursing and profanity. Jesus this and Jesus that, and man, I got so mad. I forgot I was a preacher, Brother Jackson, just for a few minutes. I walked over to this lady. She was saying things that my grandchildren had never heard in their life. And it made me mad. You know, there was a day where even lost people in a Christian nation called America wouldn't let you curse Jesus' name. I walked up and I tapped this lady. I begged my children off on another lady. My grandkids, I said, would you watch him just for a minute? And I tapped this lady on the shoulder. I said, hey lady, shut up! She sucked all the air out of the room and all the people started applauding. I said, lady, I've been screaming longer than you have. I'm a Baptist preacher. Shut your mouth. Those are my grandkids over there. They've never heard words like you just said. Don't you ever curse out loud in public in this country again. If you're going to curse Jesus' name, curse your own mama's name. Curse your own daddy's name. But don't curse Jesus' name. She didn't cuss anymore. I'm just saying, my friend, you can slip off this road if you get to watching too many things that's going around you. Listen to too many things that they call normal. And I'm saying, my friend, if you don't watch out, this road is narrow, it's steep, and it's dark, walking away from Satan and getting to Jesus. And sometimes we slip, sometimes we have a failure of obedience and weakened by sin. We stiffen our necks and our hearts are dirty. We have empty cups. We must get back to this highway. How do you get back? Listen, hands and knees. Bent and broken. It's the only way back. You can't do it walking up to Calvary. You can't do it. God said He will not allow the unclean on this highway. Isn't that what He said? You got to go bent and broken. Back to your hands and knees. Back to the blood for cleansing. You come and wait for Jesus to fill you again. Hallelujah. No matter how dirty you've been made by the world and sin, no matter how drifting you become away from the Lord, hey, God can still give you a way back. And you get back to Calvary. He asks for your heart again. He fills that cup with joy and the Holy Spirit. The great secret about this highway is where to take your sin. There's only one place. Calvary. The blood. The real test is what to do. The real test along the way is what the psalmist said in Psalm 23:5. My cup runneth over. That's the real test. I don't know about you, my friend, but this old world is getting worse all the time. When I was a young boy, they didn't have this internet browsing. They didn't have these data phones and they didn't have all the problems of the world. You had to go out to the red light district to get in trouble like you're getting in trouble now. Amen. You had to go out to the public movie screen outside in order for folks to know you were watching the bad movies. That's right. Now you can hold it in the palm of your hand. You can get in trouble that fast. You can hide your sin. As a church member, you can live a secret lifestyle. But God said, not on my highway. You're on some other highway, but you're not on my highway. Now, when are we going to find out that God still owns and controls our life? We don't own ourselves. What? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. God says, hey, give me that heart again. Give me that heart again. And when you give Him your heart and you know that you've asked for forgiveness and the blood has covered the sin again, He said, okay, you can get up now. Walk with me. Follow that light. There's one last thing, and that is, my friend, on this road, we never walk alone. Truth is, my friend, it's a life of victory. There are constant choices and you can slip off. But one thing you always need to remember, and always be reminded is that we never walk alone on this highway. There are others just like you and I that are on this highway. God puts them there. You can't convince me that God didn't let me bump into the pathway, Brother Jackson, when I was a young boy. Amen. God did that for me. You can't convince me that God didn't let me cross the path of a Dr. Carl Ogden and a Dr. Bob Smith and now a good friend, Brother Lasseter. You can't convince me God didn't let me cross paths for me. And so have you. Those that have been godly influences. Those that have helped you along the way. Those that you call good Christians. You met them on this highway. You didn't meet them on that other highway. God said, I'll have that there for you. You know, I watch these people say all the time, well, you know, I just don't know. I don't know if I can get the right relationship. But I'm going to say this. You put yourself in the right relationship on this highway, and God will make sure that all the other relationships fall right in line. That right relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You put yourself in that relationship, and God will make sure all the other things are working out in your life. Hey, listen to me, my friend. In holiness, there are no dark places you can't hide on this highway. In holiness, my friend, there are no masks you can wear. You can't be somebody else. People will see you for who you really are. This is the highway for your life. For the rest of your life. No new revelations, no new doctrines, just simple Bible truth. To start this life, my friend, you'll need to live it for the rest of your life. That's holiness. Living it, experiencing it, continuing it. Have just you and I walking in this highway of holiness with our Lord Jesus Christ and our cups being full and being happy, full of His joy. That's for life. In love with Jesus. Close your Bibles and look this way and let me close with what the Bible has to say about, I think, is on this highway. I pride myself as being a Bible preacher. Most of my illustrations come from the Bible. Listen very carefully. When I found out that God wants us to be with Him on this highway and God wants us to follow Him on this highway and God wants us to deal with our sin on this highway, I found out that what God wants for the rest of our life, once we have this relationship with the Lord, is the word servant. Servant. Once you get on this highway and you're following that light, God wants you to serve Him. And I looked up the word servant. There are only two types of servants in the entire Bible. One is a hired servant. He's one that has wages for what he works for and has certain privileges for his wages. The other is a Bible bond slave. You see, in this old world, the word slave or the word servant is one of the worst positions that the world can ever know. But in the Bible, it's the greatest position. In the Bible, there are no greater titles you can have. Servant, or this Bible bond slave, is the greatest position that a man can have. A new relationship of the heart, humbling yourself, broken, being a willing servant. You see, a Bible bond slave has no rights. A Bible bond slave receives no wages. A Bible bond slave is one who has no appeal. He's even forbidden to be of his own race. He's the property of his master. He's never the leader. He's never thanked. He's unprofitable. He's humble. He's broken. Because the truth is, my friend, his master gets all the praise. His master gets all the thankfulness and all the gratitude. Are you listening to me, my friend? When you get right with God, all you want to do is be thankful and serve Him. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to say, thank you for being my master. I don't believe in Lordship salvation, but I do believe in Lordship Christianity. Once you get saved, listen to me, make Him the Lord of your life. Make Him the Lord of your life. This highway of holiness, there's only one way to get to it. First of all, you get saved. Amen. Pinch yourself. Even though you're saved, you're still in the flesh. As long as you're in the flesh, you're going to have trouble with it. It's called sin. You're born. Your nature is sin. When you have that trouble, you get to your hands and knees and get back to Calvary just like the day you got saved. Amen. Just like the preacher's been talking about, what a happy day it was he got saved. He wants to relive the experience. On the anniversary, 20th anniversary of his salvation, he sits in the same pew where he walked out of. You come to the Lord on your hands and knees, bent and broken. And you say, "Dear God, I'd like for you to take care of my sin. I'm so sorry." Listen to me. This is how easy it is to get right with God. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. Help me to obey you rather than disobey you. Lord, help me replace what that old sin is, that old sinful habit, with something spiritual and biblical. Lord, I'm sorry." And the Bible says, He'll forgive you. And the Bible said, "Give me that old empty heart, I'll fill it up." Amen. And the Bible says, "Now walk with me. Get up off those hands and knees and walk with me." And while you're walking, here's something you can do. You can serve me here. 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 And you can be the next pastor. Amen. You can be the next choir director. Amen. You see, God uses old sinners saved by grace. And the only way He'll use you is on this highway, not on that other highway. You know, the one that looks so broad, got all the flashy lights. It's this one that He wants you on. The highway of holiness. Shall we stand, please? Let's bow our heads. I wouldn't trade for what God has done in my life. I wouldn't trade for the things that God's allowed me to be able to do and the blessing of God on my life. I'm asking you tonight to make sure that when you get off and slip off this highway, that you get right back on. And there's only one way to do it. You come in the seat position. Not in your pew standing. Consecration doesn't come off the pew. Consecration comes off the altar. If you'll practice abasing yourself, humbling yourself, and telling God the guilt of your sin and the sorrow of it, and say, "God, please forgive me," I promise you the blood will always be applied. And God will always do what you cannot do. He can forgive. And He can cleanse. And He can help you serve Him. He can fill your heart with joy and His Spirit. Father, bless tonight. Use, I pray, the message. Help us, Lord, to be right with Thee, I pray, in Jesus' name. We'll sing the song, play the music, and you come on quickly. If you can't kneel, if you can't walk, then make the pew.